Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Welcome into Coffee Break this Friday morning. I do appreciate you joining us. And Tony King, the director of pharmacy programs at Mountain Pacific Quality Health, our guest this morning to finish off the week. Tony, thanks for coming by.
I appreciate being here.
Yeah, you've been on the show a bit, but it's been a while.
Yeah. I was trying to look on the calendar. I think it's been 6 to 9 months somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, it was about time to have you back in. You're on the rotation,
sure,
right?
Appreciate it.
I guess just first, Mountain Pacific Quality Health. Can you kind of give folks a primer of just what that is? Where do you work?
Absolutely. Mountain Pacific Quality Health is a not-for-profit healthcare improvement organization. We are based out of Helena, off of Cooney Street. We do service several states: Alaska, Hawaii, Montana, and Wyoming. We have a couple different things that we do. We look for communities that need help with their healthcare and improving. We also hold some contracts through Medicare and Medicaid.
Okay. And you didn't mention, but Guam is on your list too.
Yeah, American Samoa as well. Yeah.
Those are my favorites, is to add in American Samoa. Yes. Because Wyoming obviously goes with Guam and American Samoa.
Indeed. Yeah. And didn't mean to leave them out. I just never been there.
Yeah, if I was going to volunteer, I'll go to Guam.
Sure.
Why not? Can you introduce yourself to folks a little bit? Tell them who you are, and I guess just sort of what you do when you go to work every day.
Yeah. So I'm a pharmacist by trade, born and raised in Montana, went to the University of Montana, then School of Pharmacy in Montana. I was in the retail sector for a number of years, worked in long-term care pharmacy. Right now, I manage our pharmacy programs at Mountain Pacific, and again, we hold some contracts for Medicare and Medicaid. I'm also the president of the Board of Pharmacy here in Montana, and have been very active in the Montana Pharmacy Association, trying to help advocate for our profession.
Yeah, so you know all about the pharmaceuticals. You're the guy to talk to.
I used to. I'm more of a manager now, but yeah, there was a time.
Tony King, he's the director of pharmacy programs at Mountain Pacific Quality Health, and we're getting ready for the fall. I mean, I think we had like one day, maybe 2 days of fall where we went, oh yeah, this is what this is like, and now we're back to late summer, but it's coming.
Yeah, there was snow in the hills. I saw snow at one point.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, but that means flu season, doesn't it? I mean, fall shows up, that means fall and flu go together, right?
It does. Generally, the peak flu season, though, is January, February. But in this part of the world, once we see that first snow fly, generally that's when we get busiest with our flu shots.
Okay. So that's when it starts. And then it's actually fairly lengthy because, peaks there around Christmas, but it can go into the spring, can't
yes,
it?
Yes. Yes. It can go all the way. We had a bump a couple years ago that went into April.
Wow. Well, of course, we're getting snow here in April.
Sure.
As long as the snow's on the ground,
you bet.
We've got a shot for it. So how do we determine just what flu season is? I mean, is it the same generally across the country? Is it regional? How does that work?
What we do in the United States is we actually, our season follows what happens in the Southern Hemisphere. So similar to what the COVID virus did is it starts generally in Asia area, and then it kind of migrates as tourists and travel comes. So we're monitoring it down south now and in anticipation for it to come into the Northern Hemisphere anytime. Cases have been fairly limited at this point in the Northern Hemisphere, but there is thoughts that it is here and it will start to spread soon.
Okay. So this is something that's, we move this thing. It's not like it's up in the jet stream and it just shows up.
Correct.
Like the snow.
Correct. It's a person-to-person contact. Generally, it's respiratory, cough, sneeze in the air.
And it's not always the same. I mean, we call it the flu, right? But it's not the same thing. It's different every year, right?
It is different every year, and there are different strains of the virus that are more prevalent depending on the year. There are several laboratories throughout the year that test and monitor it to see which ones are going to be the most prevalent and also the most virulent, meaning they're easier to spread. They decide generally in January, February, which ones that they're going to target for the flu vaccine. And then they give that to the manufacturers to say, these are the ones we'd like for you to build into the vaccine.
Okay. So this thing sort of just mutates every year.
It does. You know, and if I know there is work on a universal one that'll be good year to year, but right now we're just not there.
And do we figure that out based on, again, looking at the Southern Hemisphere, going, this is what they're seeing?
Yes.
There are guinea pigs, unfortunately.
Yes, that's just the way that it seems to happen. It generally starts in some sort of bird species, generally in Asia or in that area. And then it starts to spread and crosses over to humans, and then that's where the testing generally starts.
Okay. Tony King is the director of pharmacy programs at Mountain Pacific here in Helena. And do we know what this year's flu season will look like? Again, it's looking south, right, and saying what do they have, right, and then sort of extrapolating what we might see. Do we know?
We don't. And, you know, obviously with the pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic going on, there is a large worry that we're going to overburden our healthcare system. Looking at the Southern Hemisphere, for example, Australia, they've had a really, really light flu season, probably due to the quarantine, the reduced travel from out of the country, the social distancing, the hand washing, the hand sanitizer, everything. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that is what's slowing the spread of the flu in the Southern Hemisphere, and we can hopefully see that in the Northern Hemisphere as well.
Will that, I know you said it's already here, or the thought is, you know, we can assume it is, but because of travel restrictions, I mean, might that delay the start of it?
It's possible. It's just too soon to tell at this point. Really, there's just not enough cases. There's not enough tracking going on. We are still watching for it. It's not as though we dedicated all of our resources to COVID. But it's just too soon to tell, but not too soon to get the flu shot.
Okay. Yeah, it might. I just feel like it might be like my NHL season. Like it's just starting way too late, and then it bleeds in, and they're giving promos for the Stanley Cup during NFL season opener.
Sure.
Which is weird.
Sure. Now that we reach September, October, though, it's the right time to get the vaccine. And, mm-hmm. you know, with that and our social distancing and our precautions against COVID, hopefully we can cut it off at the pass.
Yeah. I mean, this year, of course, it is going to look different just because of COVID-19, right? I mean, what are your colleagues looking at saying, this is why this is different this year? I mean, just in many areas. I mean, it's just got to be different in a lot of ways, right?
Absolutely. And the number one concern is to overburden the healthcare system. So with the pandemic going on, whatever we can do to make it easier for our healthcare professionals, the emergency rooms, the urgent care clinics, to make it easier so we're not overburdening them, that's what we should do. And the number one advice that we have is get your flu shot and get it early. Let's get that out of the way. That way you're healthy. Should COVID come around, you don't want to be battling more than one thing at a time.
Yeah. Tony King is the director of pharmacy programs out at Mountain Pacific Quality Health. And we've got a few minutes before we have to go to a break. We mentioned every year it looks a little bit different, but that means that the flu vaccine is a little different every year. So just because you got it last year, you're not covered. This isn't like the 5-year, you know, a 10-year thing.
Right.
This is every year.
Yes, this is every year, and every year the flu shot is a little bit different. Again, the strains of the virus are a little bit different, so they engineer the shot differently. This is the 75th anniversary of the flu shot, so it's been around for a long time. It was actually really researched after the Spanish flu, which is what we're worried about, mm-hmm. with COVID, modeling that. So it's been around. It does change from year to year. This year, there are a couple little different strains, and the high-dose vaccine for 65 and older now has 4 strains in it and used to have 3 different strains in it. So they are trying to make it better and more efficient from year to year.
Okay. So what does it look like this year in terms of, I mean, the world is working to come up with a COVID vaccine, right? It's not right. Like there's a couple places here and there. I mean, this is worldwide. How does that impact work on the flu vaccine? I mean, obviously, like you said, 75 years, it's something we've kind of got down,
sure,
to some extent, but it's sure. Always different. There needs to be research and work done. How do those two play together? Does this kind of get pushed to the back burner?
No, it doesn't. So unlike COVID, we anticipate the flu shot every year, or the flu every year. Mm-hmm. And so they start working on vaccine and modeling and production of that months ahead of time. As I said earlier, generally in January, February, they have decided which strains are going to go into it. So it was already in production. It was already working towards the goals of the number of vaccines available early this year. So before it actually, before COVID blew up in the Northern Hemisphere, they were already working on it. So.
Okay. We're talking this morning with Tony King. He's the director of pharmacy programs out in Mount Pacific Quality Health, and we do have to take a break. So we'll go ahead and we'll do that now. We'll give him a breather, and then we'll come back and talk more flu and COVID and I don't know, whatever else we can come up with on Coffee Break. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
In today's always-on world, your business demands a simpler approach to network security. At Blackfoot Communications, we deliver state-of-the-art security solutions, from the perimeter to endpoint devices and remote data backup, for businesses across Montana. Ensure your company's network is online all the time. For more information, visit goblackfoot.com/security.
Welcome back in. This is Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley, and on good show today, we've got Tony King. He's the director of pharmacy programs out at Mountain Pacific Quality Health. And we were talking flu in the first part. We're going to keep talking flu and vaccines. And so the vaccine, you said they start, Tony, working on this pretty early. You said January really is when they start sort of working on it for later in the year. When does the vaccine actually become available?
Well, the vaccine is now available. Generally, it's released early August, late July, early August, depending on the manufacturer's schedule and if they have any issues. But it is out. It is available now. I was in a chain store yesterday and saw people lining up for it and was encouraged that you know, people are out and know that it's important to get this
yeah.
early.
So what about... What about COVID? I know we don't actually know the answer, right? But you're as deep into the weeds here in the research as anybody. Do we have a realistic timeline on a vaccine there?
You know, there were over 150 companies that were working, or 150 different vaccines. I know that there were at least six that were in phase two or phase three trials. The federal government came out and said that they expect a vaccine distributed to the states by November 1. I haven't seen anything that said that isn't what they're still shooting for, but I haven't seen an actual release date yet.
Okay. So we don't know. They're still in. There's some of those that are still phase three, right?
Which, yes.
Wait, can you explain what phase two and three is? I mean, that's essentially when we get testing larger and larger groups, right?
Correct. You know, phase three is what we're really looking at. It's that they found in the labs and in small different studies that it has worked and it is effective. It is creating antibodies within the body. Phase three is when they roll it out into a larger group to try and see if there's any adverse side effects that they aren't seeing in the smaller groups to make sure that it is working pretty generally in most to all people, that they're not having allergic reactions, that they're not seeing unknown side effects that they haven't found. So the phase three is what we're really basing it on. I know that there's a couple. There was one that actually had to halt phase three trials this week due to one of the patients getting sick. They're trying to identify what that was, what caused it, and whether or not they should continue with phase three. But so far, I'm hearing, you know, that I heard that there was the hospital in Bozeman that was trialing one of these vaccines. So I'm still hopeful by, you know, November, December that we'll have a vaccine for.
But then that takes some time to get it mass produced, right?
It does, but what's going on right now is a lot of the manufacturers are working on that ahead of time. So generally what they do is they go through phase three, find that it's safe and effective, and then they produce it. What they're doing to speed this up is they're producing a lot of it ahead of time in hopes that it works, and that way they can have a faster rollout. They are, you know, getting a lot of funding from governments to do so. That way, if it does not work, that they're not out.
Yeah, because that's
money.
A big financial risk.
It's huge.
You know, that's why they wait to make sure, you know, you don't want to mass produce something like, what was it, the E.T. game for Atari, mass produced and literally then got buried in a landfill because it was so terrible.
Exactly.
It'd be the same thing here. They have a whole stock room of stuff that doesn't work.
Right. And that's possible. But they are getting funded well enough mm-hmm. to where they're not going to go bankrupt if it doesn't work.
Tony King is the director of pharmacy programs at Mountain Pacific Quality Health. He's our guest on Coffee Break today. And there certainly are still some people, you said, people lining up, which is a good thing, but there's people that are uncertain about going out. They're not, you know, for whatever reason, if they're in a high risk group or if whatever it is, they're not sure about going out to those stores, to the hospital even. Should there be concerns with getting the flu vaccine at this point?
No, not at all. Again, we need to do whatever we can to decrease the burden on the healthcare system. The flu shot has been around for 75 years. It is safe. It is effective. It's one of the best things that Western medicine has come up with. Unless you have a contraindication, unless you're allergic to the flu shot, really you should be getting it. If you have questions, you have concerns, talk to your doctor, talk to your pharmacist. But please try to get it so you're not only protecting yourself, but anyone that you might come in contact with.
Yeah, and so anybody can get the flu shot, I mean, from kids to grandparents.
Yes, it's recommended anyone 6 months and older get the flu shot unless they're allergic to it.
Okay. How do you find out if you're allergic to it? How would you know other than, I guess, getting it and then having the reaction?
Exactly. Generally, you'd know. If you're allergic to it, you'd already know. Allergic to some of the components to it. Sometimes there's some preservatives that may be in it that you may be allergic, but most people already know.
Right.
If you have family members that are allergic to it, you may want to ask them what specifically they're allergic to. A lot of times, true allergies and side effects are different things. So
what are the side effects or potential side effects?
For the flu shot, generally, it's just site reactions. So you might be a little sore where you get the shot, but for the most part, as long as you're not getting the live attenuated vaccine, which is the nasal vaccine, you're getting either a weakened or a dead vaccine. So there, you cannot get the flu from it. The most common side effect to it is just where they put the needle in might be sore for a day or two. But
okay.
Other than that, there really aren't side effects to it.
So where can people go? I mean, you mentioned being at the store. I mean, basically, these stores that have pharmacies, a lot of them also do the flu shots, right?
Correct.
And that's safe. Like, that's not like you're not getting it out of some guy's trunk or, you know, it's the tattoo artist that goes, no, come on over to my house. I got the stuff. This is not that.
No, this isn't that. Pharmacies have been giving vaccinations in Montana for 15 years. I've given several thousand of them. All the pharmacies are doing vaccines. It is covered by insurance. You shouldn't have a copay. If you don't have insurance, there are programs that can help you with any costs. But really all the pharmacies will do it. Just call ahead just to make sure that you're not getting in on a busy time. Make sure if you're over 65 that they have that vaccine in stock for you. Sometimes that's a little harder to get than the normal flu shot. The recommendation is if they don't have it in stock and they don't sound like they're having in stock and you're over 65, just to get the regular flu shot. But hold out hope that you can get the high dose flu shot if you're over 65.
Well, you could always, I suppose, call your doctor.
You can. A lot of the physician's offices have them usually. This may be a little bit different just due to COVID. They may be limiting the patients that are coming in for certain routine visits. County health departments are also a good source for vaccinations. Call them again. I have heard rumors that the county health departments are going to focus on other things and funnel people to the pharmacies for the flu shot specifically. But if you need other vaccines as well, call either your doctor, the pharmacy, or the county health department are the three sources.
Okay. Tony King is the director of pharmacy programs at Mountain Pacific Quality Health. He's our guest on Coffee Break today. And you mentioned it, but I want to point it out again. This is generally something covered by insurance. So that's not a concern. As long as folks have insurance, this will be covered.
Correct.
Okay. A lot of people get sick every year from the flu. I mean, just nationwide, right. Worldwide. And I think that there is a tendency sometimes to dismiss it. Like, oh, you just get sick for a week and then you get back. But this is a serious thing for a lot of people.
Absolutely. The studies I saw from last year said anywhere between 400,000 and 750,000 people visited the hospital because of the flu. There was an estimated 35 million people contracted the flu last year. And we saw anywhere, the numbers kind of vary, but we saw anywhere from 30 to 60,000 people die because of complications of the flu. So it is serious. It can be serious, especially if you have other health conditions going on similar to COVID. If you have high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, things like that, that can really complicate it and cause really bad complications that cause you to go visit the hospital or ER.
Yeah, so I think people have learned a lot about, you know, comorbidities and underlying health issues.
Right.
All of that is, I mean, it applies. It's all the same stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Although COVID and the flu are different strains, a lot of the symptoms are the same. There are a couple differences. But if you are at high risk for complications to COVID, you're high risk for complications to the flu.
So if you start to come down with something, like you said, it is similar in many ways, and you start to feel like, man, this, I don't feel right. It feels kind of flu-like. You know, what, at that point, do you get tested for COVID as well? Because how would you know initially?
Right. And they are rolling out tests. The testing is changing every day, but they are rolling out tests that will test for both flu A, flu B, and COVID. So they can do one test depending on which test it is. There is a test that will test for all three strains.
Okay. So if you're starting to not feel right, it is time to probably call your doctor or call county health or whoever and figure out how you need to get tested.
Correct. And I know you know, your doctor should have it. The county health departments will direct you to who has the COVID test. I know some pharmacies are now doing COVID tests as well. The rapid tests for the flu may not be as easy to get at this point, but again, they're rolling out tests and changing it every day. So depending on the availability, you may be able to get one that will test for all three strains.
Yeah. Tony King is the Director of Pharmacy Programs at Mountain Pacific Quality Health. We got about 5 minutes left with him. And people are, of course, hospitalized every year for this. I mean, so I guess now, and you mentioned it, I mean, now more important than ever to take the precautions and get the vaccine, because we can't overwhelm the hospitals. I mean, that's we talked about flattening the curve early on. You know, this is that same issue. We can't overwhelm hospitals with people getting sick.
Exactly. And something as easy and preventable as the flu, just to get the vaccine, continue to follow the social distancing guidelines, continue to do the hand washing, the hand sanitizer, limit your trips to the store and to the large groups. But really, if we can decrease the burden on the healthcare system, that will save anyone that gets sick from anything to have better care.
Yeah. And you can get both simultaneously, right? I mean, I've heard where people are getting flu and COVID at the same time.
There are a few cases out there. It's pretty rare, but I have seen some studies that indicate that you can. Obviously, you don't want to fight two things at the same time.
Yeah.
It isn't prevalent, but I have seen studies that show that there are cross-contaminations.
Yeah. So one more reason to get that flu shot this year. If you're going to battle one of these things, let's not do both.
Exactly. Get the flu shot. Try and stay as healthy as you can. Eat well. Eat a balanced diet. Get some exercise. Take your medications. Control all your comorbidities just in case.
Yeah.
You know, if COVID comes around, you don't want to be complicating it.
And we've only got about 3 minutes left, Tony, but I mean, at least Cliff's Notes version of this, the flu shot isn't 100%. You get the vaccine, you're not going to get it. That's not necessarily how it works. Hey, what actually happens? I mean, what does this do, especially since we know it's not 100%?
Sure. So what the flu shot is intended to do is to prep your body to fight it should it arrive. So the flu shot puts in little bits and pieces of broken down flu so that your body can build antibodies to it, builds up the immunity to it. And then should you get it, your body is already prepared to fight it. It already has the immunity towards it.
So it's already battled off the ones that can't fight against it. So now it's ready to fight off the ones that can.
Exactly. And then if you're 65 and older, obviously your immune system is probably worn down a little bit. So they have what's called the high dose flu shot for you. So it's 3 to 4 times more potent than the regular flu shot. That way your body has more of that to build up its immunity.
So what's the batting average? I mean, we know it's not 100%.
Sure.
Do we know?
It just kind of depends on the year. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, it was a pretty bad flu shot, but it still builds up a little bit of passive immunity. I didn't see the numbers for last year, but generally it's above 50%. It's well worth it.
Okay. So, you know, don't go and talk to your doctor like you gave me this thing and I still got sick. We know that going in.
Right. No vaccine is 100%. No treatment's 100%. But again, do the right thing. Get the flu shot. Protect the healthcare system if you can.
Yeah. Tony King is the director of pharmacy programs out at Mountain Pacific Quality Health. 1 minute left. So what's your takeaway? I mean, I guess one of them is it's safe. You know, people don't have to worry about that.
It is. The flu shot is safe. It is effective. It is one of the best things that we can do to help protect our friends, family, and the healthcare system. Get caught up on all your vaccinations. Don't, you know, the flu isn't the only one that you should be getting. Make sure that you have all of them up to date. Pharmacies can now help you with all of that. The federal guidelines now state that a pharmacist can give vaccines from 3 and older. So if you haven't been caught up because of COVID and you need to get caught up, call your pharmacy. They can help you out. Stay as healthy as you can. Let's beat this thing.
Yeah. Keep washing your hands. Indeed. That's if anything good can come out of this, it's less people sneezing on each other and people washing their hands.
Absolutely. You know, and I have 3 small kids at home and it's a battle, but we fight it every day.
Tony King is the director of pharmacy programs at Mountain Pacific Quality Health. He joined us on Coffee Break today. Thanks so much for that. And I guess ultimately, if people have questions, have concerns, call your primary care physician, right?
Yep. Call your doctor, call your pharmacist, call the county health department. A lot of good resources out there. Just make sure it's good and reliable, not just I heard it from a friend.
Thanks, Tony.
You bet. Thank you.
I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.